नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय। So we're reading from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 22, entitled Krishna Steals the Gopi's Garments. And I was asked to speak on text 21, or text 20, and Shesha Prabhu didn't do text 19. So I guess I get to do two verses, but I have to say that I really only prepared for one, but it's okay. So text 19, I guess we could do that one together. Yuyang Vivastra Yadapo Dhritavrata Yuyang Vivastra Yadapo Dhritavrata. Not prepared for this. Vyagahatai tad tat u deva helanam Vyagahatai tad tad udeva helanam. Badvanjalim Murjan apanutaye Nahasa. Badvanjalim Murjan Panutaye Nahasa. Sorry, folks. I'll try the whole thing together. Kritva Namo To Vasanam Prigyatam. Okay, together. Yuyang Vivastra Yadapo Dhritavrata. Vyagahatai tatadudeva helanam. Badvanjalim udyanapanataye mahasa. Kritva namo davasanam pragrityatam. I got two tunes mixed up together here. Yugam vivastra yadapo dhritavrata. Vyagahatai tatad udeva helanam. Badvanjalim urdhyana panutaye mahasa. Kritva namo dvasanam pragrayatam. Yuyam divastra yadapo dhritavrata. Vyagahatai tatarudeva helanam. Badvanjalim Janapanataye Mahasa. Kritva namo davasanam parityatam. Okay, someone else chant. Somebody? Thank you. Yuyamatha. Yagayata Devahana. It's a good thing Krishna's merciful, that's all I can say. Kritva namo devasana. Okay, anybody else want to take a stab at it? Otherwise I'm going to just go on instead of torturing us all. How about Nagaraj Prabhu, you want to make sense out of it? You can't be, oh good, I don't feel so bad. Huh? Oh, good. All right. That's. Oh, yeah. It's hard. Anyway, what to do? You, yum. You. Vivastra. Naked. Yet. Because. Apa. In the water. Dhritavrata. While executing a Vedic ritualistic vow. Vyagahata, bathed, etatat, this, indeed, devahelanam, an offense against Varuna and the other gods, badva anjalim, with palms joined together, mordni, upon your heads, Apanutatye, for counteracting. Amasa, your sinful actions. Kritvanama, paying obeisances. Adavasanam, your lower garments. Pragriyatam, please take back. Translation. Lord Krishna said, you girls, bathe naked while executing your vow, and that is certainly an offense against the demigods. To counteract your sin, you should offer obeisances while placing your joined palms above your heads. Then you should take back your lower garments. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Krishna wanted to see the full surrender of the gopis, and thus He ordered them to offer obeisances with their palms joined above their heads. In other words, the gopis could no longer cover their bodies. We should not foolishly think that Lord Krishna is an ordinary lusty boy enjoying the naked beauty of the gopis. Krishna is the supreme absolute truth, and He is acting to fulfill the loving desire of the young coward girls of Vrindavan. In this world, we would certainly become lusty in a situation like this, but to compare ourselves to God is a great offense. And because of this offense, we will not be able to understand Krishna's transcendental position, for we will wrongly take Him to be materially conditioned like ourselves. To lose transcendental sight of Krishna is certainly a great disaster for one trying to relish the bliss of the absolute truth. Okay, so text 20 now. Let's see. Can you chant that one from the beginning so it doesn't get mutilated unnecessarily? Yeah, just chant the Sanskrit. Huh? Okay, go for it. Go ahead. Oh, he's doing some up there. Okay, now it's your fault, Ma. I knew it all along. Itya chutena bhitam vrajabala. Matva vivastra plavam vritak chutim. Tat-putrikamastadashesha-karmanam. Shakshakritam nemur avyat mrigyata iti. In these words, Achyutena, by the infallible Supreme Lord, Abhihitam, indicated, Vraja Abalaha, the girls of Vraja, Matva, considering, Vivastra, naked, Aplavanam, the bathing, Vrajachutim, a fall down from their vow, Tat, Purti, the successful completion of that, Kama, intently desiring, Tat, of that performance, Ashesha Karmanam, and of unlimited other pious activities, Shakshat Kritam, to the directly manifest fruit, Nemu, they offered their obeisances, Avadya Mrik, the cleanser of all sins, Yatak, because. Thus, the young girls of Vrindavan, considering what Lord Achyuta had told them, accepted that they had suffered a fall down from their vow by bathing naked in the river. But they still desire to successfully complete their vow. And since Lord Krishna is himself the ultimate result of all pious activities, they offered obeisances to him to cleanse away all their sins. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The transcendental position of Krishna consciousness is clearly described here. The gopis decided that it was better to renounce their so-called family tradition and traditional morality and simply surrender unto the Supreme Lord Krishna. This does not mean that the Krishna consciousness movement advocates immoral activities. In fact, the devotees of ISKCON practice the highest standard of restraint and morality, but at the same time, we recognize the transcendental position of Krishna. Lord Krishna is God, and therefore has no material desire to enjoy young girls and sexual affairs. As will be seen in this chapter, Lord Krishna is not at all attracted to enjoying the gopis. Rather, he was attracted to their love and wanted to satisfy them. The greatest offense is to imitate the activities of Lord Krishna. In India, there is a group called Prakrita Sahajiya, who imitate these affairs of Krishna and try to enjoy naked young girls in the name of worshiping Krishna. The ISKCON movement sternly rejects this mockery of religion, because the greatest offense is for a human being to ludicrously imitate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the ISKCON movement, there are no cheap incarnations, and it is not possible for a devotee of this movement to promote himself to the position of Krishna. 500 years ago, Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who practiced strict celibacy throughout his student life, and at the age of 24 took sannyas, a lifelong vow of celibacy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rigidly avoided contact with women in order to carry out his vow of loving service to Krishna. When Krishna personally appeared 5,000 years ago, he exhibited these wonderful pastimes which attract our attention. We should not become envious or shocked when we hear that God can perform such pastimes. Our shock is due to our ignorance, because if we try to perform these activities, our bodies would be afflicted by lust. Lord Krishna, however, is the supreme absolute truth and is therefore never disturbed by any material desire whatsoever. Thus, this incident in which the gopis gave up normal standards of morality and raising their hands to their head, bowed down in compliance with Krishna's order, is an example of pure devotional surrender and not a discrepancy in religious principles. In fact, the gopi surrender is the perfection of all religion, as Srila Prabhupada describes in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, quote, "The gopis are all simple souls, and whatever Krishna said, they took to be true. In order to be freed from the wrath of Arunadeva, as well as to fulfill the desired end of their vow, and ultimately to please their worshipable Lord Krishna, they immediately abided by his order. Thus they became the greatest lovers of Krishna and his most obedient servitors. Nothing can compare to the Krishna consciousness of the gopis. Actually, the gopis did not care for Varuna or any other demigod. They only wanted to satisfy Krishna. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinone Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Bacharani Nivashesha Sunnivadi Prastrachade Satarani Om Ganati Mirandasya Ganam Ganashavakaya Chakshur Unnu Tangjena Tathma Shri Guru Venama Mukham Karati Vachalam Pangam Mangayate Girim Yat Kripa Tvam Hambande Shri Guru Dinatarnam. So, I was reading these verses, or especially the second verse, the text 20, and the purport. And you know, we've talked about this so many times in the last few days. Everybody is taking shelter of this idea, this discussion on the fact that these pastimes are extremely confidential, and unlike the mercy that others got, the mic was working, and so the information is going out everywhere, and here the gopis are standing undressed with their hands above their head folded, and Krishna's in a tree with all their clothes. So trying to understand this in a proper way, because Krishna's pastimes, or the whole Bhagavatam actually, and the scriptures in general, they have many layers. So on one layer we have the Leela itself. And Krishna did these things. Their activities, their pastimes, they're historical. And so he didn't do them necessarily, or a concomitant effect of what he did them for, is to teach us a lesson. The Bhagavatam is put together very expertly by Śrīla Vyāsadeva under the guidance of Narada, and in his maturity, he put together this Bhagavatam for the purpose of leading the conditioned souls back to Godhead. So there is an element of teaching through these leelas. Even though the leelas are historical, and Krishna wasn't necessarily thinking when he was talking to the gopis, I'm about to teach the whole world a lesson through these activities that we're going to do today, still that element is there. And it's embedded in the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam is there for that purpose, to elevate us, to bring us to Krishna consciousness. So when we look at this leela of the gopis stealing, gopis' clothes being stolen, and then we look at, now we have other commentaries, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, where he has this little dialogue where Krishna is edging up the gopis gradually to raise their hands above their head. First they come out and they're covered, and then they come out and they're covered the bottom, and then they want to hold their hands folded and offer obeisances but a little bit low, and then Krishna says, no, you have to put them high. And so then Krishna, and then so the gopis put them high, and then Krishna says, come and get your lower garments, but I'm going to keep your upper garments to wear as chattars myself. So he doesn't even give them back their upper clothes. He just has them take their lower clothes, and he says, I'm going to keep the other ones, add to my collection, so that I can use them later on in my own ornamentation. But the position of the young girls, as stated in this text 20, is actually the position of all of us. And we mentioned it the other day when in another class, that Vegavati Prabhu was giving class, and I mentioned that actually our position is always to become naked in front of Krishna. So, you know, in a sense, we wipe our head and we think, oh, okay, it's just a metaphor, it's a simile, and we can understand it in that way, and then it doesn't upset our sense of propriety so much. But that doesn't negate the fact that it actually happened, and it's a leela. And appreciating the leela for what it is, that the gopis were Krishna's, or are Krishna's, pure devotees. And whatever they do is simply for his pleasure. So sometimes we think that we kind of know what the best thing to do is. It's hinted at in this purport a little bit, that we have a sense of morality, a sense of right and wrong. We look at Yudhisthira, and he was thinking truthfulness. Truthfulness is very, very important. And even to the point when Krishna told him not to be truthful on the battle of Kurukshetra, he couldn't quite handle it. And he felt it was a step down from his moral position, that his Swadharma, as a great devotee and as a great warrior and as a leader of men, was to be truthful. And certainly we all appreciate that truthfulness is an essential thing. We have to do it. But at the same time, there's another side to it. The whole Bhagavad Gita, especially in the first chapter and the beginning of the second chapter, Arjuna, again, he's in the same kind of position. He's coming up with all these reasons, which according to Dharma, are essential for a human, good quality of human life, essential for a good society where people behave themselves and they don't act like animals, where they respect each other appropriately and they behave in a way that brings elevation to everyone in the society. So this is a very important thing. Even Srila Prabhupada, when it came to see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada was a follower of Gandhi. And he had expressed some concerns about trying to jump right into spiritual life without taking care of the material things first. India needs its independence. How can we be how can we do what we have to do spiritually if we're dependent materially on these people who don't honor what we're doing? And sometimes we may even feel like that in our Krishna consciousness movement, that we're kind of tied up in a society which actually is quite hostile to spiritual life, where the morals of people in the spiritual, in the material sphere, are diametrically opposed to the moral standard that we want to see implemented in the material world. Even very simple things, the things we consider to be completely obvious to us, to people in the material world, it's not so obvious. I remember once upon a time when I was taking care of the Vaishnava Academy for girls, some of the girls, they left the ashram in the middle of the night, and unbeknownst to us, innocently sleeping teachers, they went out to Irby, the elementary school, over on 235, and they met some of the boys there, and they were playing basketball. So it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and they were doing whatever they were doing, and the playing ball, nothing horrendous, I guess. And so what happened was the police saw them, and they were trespassing, and they were in the middle of the night, so the police picked them up, and we got a call at 1 o'clock in the morning and saying, we have some of these girls over here. So needless to say, we were not a very happy group of people. And but we went to the police afterwards. We went to the people and we asked them, can you please kind of read them a riot act? Because, we tell them this stuff all the time. They don't realize how dangerous it is, and they shouldn't be doing this, and they shouldn't be out with the boys, and so many things late at night. And they were completely like, what's the problem? They weren't doing anything horrible. I mean, after all, they weren't drunk. They weren't smoking dope. They weren't naked. They weren't, it's not so bad. Chill out. So their standard of what is right, what is wrong, what should be condoned in society, what is now acceptable, is very different from ours. And they're running the show. So very often we may feel like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to elevate people? How are we even going to keep ourselves elevated when the Svadharma is so covered over by this mundane material sense of what's right and what's wrong? But then even in our own spiritual life, we can cover over our bhakti with a sense of dharma that gets in the way. Even though the Dharma, the Swadharma that we are following, has validity according to Vedic culture, Brahminical, Kshatriya, morals, standards that we're looking at as being purposeful in bringing human form of life to the ultimate goal of Krishna consciousness, these little Swadharma activities, these little activities of Varnashram Dharma can get in the way if we let them. So we are constantly having to adjust. We're constantly having to weigh the primary concern against the secondary concern, even though both are very important. And we find that in our lives in general, that there are many concerns, and we have to prioritize them. Very often the priorities have to be adjusted somewhat. So Krishna is testing us to see how far we're willing to surrender to him, and how far we're willing to put our conception of ourselves, our conception of what's right and wrong, aside and take the ultimate reality, which is surrender to him, whatever he asks for. So in this case with the gopis, he's raising the ante. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Krishna kept raising the ante. Okay, come out of the water. Oh, but we're undressed. Okay, well, come out of the water and offer. You committed offense. oh no, that means our vow will be useless. We won't get the benefit of our vow. And what's the benefit of our vow? We want Krishna as our husband. Krishna is saying we committed an offense, therefore our vow won't be effective. We might as well kill ourselves. That's what their thought is, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur takes it a step further, and he says, well, Krishna sees that they're going to kill themselves. He thinks, well, I don't want them to do that. That's taking it too far, so I better give them an out. So he tells them, okay, you should just come and offer obeisances to me, and because I'm a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your life, I'm like Narayan. That's what Garga said, right? I'm like Narayan. So you can see me as your Narayan, and you can offer obeisances to me, and then your offense will be mitigated. Okay, so, all right, let's do it, girls. Let's go out and offer our respects to Krishna, because that's what we really wanted anyway, is Krishna's pleasure, and Krishna's telling us now how to make him happy. So let's offer our respects. So they come out, but they cover themselves, and Krishna says, no, that's not good enough, and he keeps raising the ante until they have their hands over their head and they're standing completely naked in front of him. And then the exchange is just about reached its end, that they now have surrendered completely. So this process of Sharanagati, of surrender, is a very important process in our own life. And we can hold on to various little things on the way to the process of Sharanagati. And as long as they support our surrender, then they serve our purpose. But if they in themselves become something we hang on to, rather than hanging on to them as a support, then they get in the way of devotional service. Then they get in the way of anyabilasita sunyam jnana karmati anavritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktirutama. That we have to give up all conceptions of right and wrong. Not that we don't have to do what's right, what we know is right, but we have to be willing to change what we consider is right according to the dictates of Krishna and the spiritual master at the moment. Because if we want to come to know Krishna, then Krishna is our ultimate goal. And surrendering to him, man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru, offering obeisances to him, offering everything to him, giving our lives to him, this is where we find, ultimately, Sharanagati, the surrender. This is where. And in order to do it, we have to accept things favorable, we have to reject things unfavorable, and we have to be completely convinced that Krishna will protect us. That complete lack of fear, that was exhibited by the gopis here. At first, they were feeling some kind of concern. What about our reputation? What about our family? What about our position as chaste young women? So many things. But they ultimately put all those things aside, understanding that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was everything. And whatever happened, he would protect them. And because they were confident of his protection, they had no fear. Ultimately, they could put all those things aside and just surrender to him. This is what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. It's the last instruction, basically. Sarva dhammam paricchaja. Give up all the dharma. Not give it up in the sense of don't do what's dharmic, but if it comes to it, be prepared to give it up. And if you're nervous about it, don't be, because I'll protect you. Right? I'll protect you. Don't worry. Krishna says, I'm there. So this idea of surrendering to Krishna and understanding that he'll protect us is very important in our process of surrender. And then the question comes, how do we get to that place? How do we get there? Because it's a building of faith. Coming to that position of being able to fall, of being able to fall into Krishna's hands and just allowing him to protect us in whatever way he wants to protect us is a very difficult thing to do for us, because we're conditioned souls and we're conditioned to think that by our effort, things will happen. Now, again, we have to find the balance, because it's not that we don't have any effort. We do have an effort. We have to do what we're supposed to do. We have to follow the instruction of the spiritual master. We have to follow the order of Krishna. We have to try to do the right thing, whatever the right thing is. But ultimately, we have to be willing to just accept Krishna's order and the spiritual master's order. I wanted to read a little thing. This is from the song sung by Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva was sent directly by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to help certain devotees who were performing austerities in order to get elevated enough to get married and take over the management of the material world. So they were performing these austerities, the Pachetas, and Lord Shiva was sent by Krishna. Krishna saw that these devotees had a very sincere heart. They wanted to make spiritual advancement. And so he said, you need a spiritual master. You're not going to be able to do it without. Just the austerities, they're not going to get you there. They're good, but they're not good enough. They're necessary, but they're not sufficient. So he sent Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva came there, and he gave them the song of Lord Shiva. He chanted this series of mantras. He gave them instruction. And by following his instruction, they achieved spiritual perfection. So this is part of the song sung by Lord Shiva. It's actually a purport because, I wanted to read the purport. In civilized human society, there must be the divisions of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. And everyone must properly execute his occupational duty in according to his division. Here it is described, Svadharma Nishta, that it does not matter whether one is a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra. If one sticks to his position and properly executes his particular duty, he is considered a civilized human being. Otherwise, he is no better than an animal. Pause. So no one wants to be an animal. Everyone wants to be a civilized human being. And we want to have a society of civilized human beings. That's one of our goals, right? We'd like to have a society of civilized human beings. And we see all over the, conversations between devotees, seminars being how to develop good qualities, good communication skills, how to be nice to people, how to be tolerant and how to be patient and how to not use violent communication. And all these things, we're trying to have a civilized society, how to be clean and how to be dharmic and, punctual and all these necessary ingredients for being a good person in society, a good member of a good society, not a good member of a bad society. Because in the outside society, they're also preaching to us that we should do what you have to do to be a good member of the society. It means spend money, right? When there was Twin Towers were blown up, President Bush got on the radio and he said, buy things. Support the American government. Support the American economy. Go out and spend money. Show them that they can't make us so afraid that we will not shop. Right? So we're not at, that's not our angle of vision. Our angle of vision is different than that. We have a civilized society that's based on something besides credit cards and shopping. But notice here, it says, otherwise we're no better than an animal. Then the purport continues. It is also mentioned herein that whoever executes his occupational duty, Svadharma, for 100 births, for instance, if a Brahmin continues to act as a Brahmin, he becomes eligible for promotion to Brahmaloka, the planet where Lord Brahma lives. After being situated in Brahmaloka, one becomes more qualified, he's promoted to Sadashivaloka. Similarly, one comes even more qualified, then he can attain the Vaikunthas. The Vaikunthas are targets for everyone, even the demigods, and they can be attained by a devotee only when he has no desire for material benefit. And then Prabhupada shifts. However, if one attains Vaikuntha Loka, he attains the highest perfection of life and the end of evolutionary process. Mamupetu tukamteya punar janman avijite. And here's the Prabhupada elevator. A devotee who is fully in Krishna consciousness. Now we've gone from Vaikuntha Loka in one sentence to one who's fully in Krishna consciousness, who is not attracted by any other loka or any other planet, including Brahma loka, Shiva loka, Vishnu loka, is immediately transferred to Krishna loka, who comes to me, Mam A.T. That is the highest perfection of life and the perfection of the evolutionary process. So just by Svadharma, just by material Svadharma, after 100 births, you get to be Lord Brahma. Congratulations. And after another 100 births, you get to go to Sadashiva Loka. Double whammy. Congratulations, congratulations. But that's not what we want, and that's not what the gopis wanted. The gopis didn't want to reach the perfection of material achievement and go to some planet or appease some demigod. They wanted to be surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if it meant throwing everything else away, they were ready to do it. Just like in the dust story, we know about the gopis being willing to give the dust from their feet to get rid of Krishna's headache. So Krishna had a headache, and he asked Narada, it should be noted, he asked Narada Muni, "Narada, I have a headache." "Oh, really, my lord? What can I do? Can I get you some Tylenol?" "No, what I need is, I need the dust of the lotus feet of my pure devotees to put on my head." "Oh, Krishna, that's a tough one, because if I put my dust on your head, I'll go to hell." So it should be noted that Narada didn't just say, "Well, here, take my dust. I'm a devotee, aren't I? I think. So take the dust. If it'll help your headache, I'm willing." No, what he did was he went on a quest. And he started asking everybody, "Will you give the dust? Will you give the dust? Will you give the dust?" And everybody had the same reaction. "Not my dust. I don't think I can give my dust because, you know, it's bad for my health, my spiritual health, and I'll go to hell. I'll offend Krishna." And, you know, there were so many excuses except the gopis. The gopis, when they heard Krishna had a headache, "Take the dust. Even if I'm not completely qualified, it's all I have is the dust. So take the dust, see if it works. Try it and see if it works. Because if Krishna has a headache, I don't care if I go to hell. I don't care if I take millions of births. I don't have any aspiration except for Krishna to be happy, Krishna to be comfortable." So this is the position, this is the balancing act that we have to do as we analyze our progress in spiritual life to attain a path of a trajectory back to Krishna's lotus feet, which is not even deterred by doing the right thing. And it sounds so weird, but Krishna, Arjuna was in that position. He just wanted to do the right thing, and Krishna said, "You're acting like a fool. Just surrender." And he took 17 chapters to explain to him why he was being, or 16 chapters, to be why he was being foolish, and ultimately to come to the conclusion of the right thing is, do what I say. And so the gopis also came to that conclusion, the right thing is, do what I say. Now for us, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, Krishna says that we have to be one-pointed in our determination. We have to be fixed in our effort to become spiritually advanced. And yet we know that it's very difficult. Even Arjuna, even Yudhisthira, so many great devotees became confused. Chitraketu, the Bhagavatam is full of people who became confused in one way or another. Very close, people who could talk to Krishna, people who could go to Narayan and just knock on his door and say, "Hey, I got a problem, the Sudarshan Chakra is chasing me." But still, they didn't have it clear. So who are we? Tiny jiva souls stuck in the material world. What is our qualification? How are we supposed to know what right is right and what right is wrong at any given moment? So Krishna says, "Vyavyasikat mikabud," here, fix your mind steadily on the order, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in that inspirational purport that literally was the catalyst that set Srila Prabhupada moving in the direction of New York was, follow the order of the spiritual master. Follow the order of the spiritual master. And that kind of may sound simplistic, because even that sometimes is hard to figure out. But if we have a firm determination, a firm intention to follow the order of the spiritual master, which in turn will take us to following the order of Krishna, then we'll always be right. Even if we're stealing flowers in the middle of the night out of the flower garden in Buffalo, we'll still be doing the right thing. Not that we're advocating that everybody do that, because as soon as we start thinking about it, then we're not on the platform of spontaneous loving service anymore. Now we're in a different place. We're considering right or wrong. But when you're not considering, when you're just driven by the order of the spiritual master, the desire to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission, then you understand what it is to do. And if you don't understand, you can ask. You can inquire from Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. But this intention is the most important thing. Actually, Dhruva Maharaj, when he gave that wonderful class on Saturday morning, he was saying that it's not even what you do, it's why you do it. Why you do it is the essence of everything. What you do, okay, it's important. We don't want to do the wrong thing. But why we do it, we can do the right thing for the wrong reason. And we can do what appears to be the wrong thing for the right reason and make spiritual advancement. So we always have to consider the intention, where our heart is, where we're connecting to the Supreme Lord. And this comes from another aspect of Sharanagati, which is humility. Considering oneself to be the humble servant. And Prabhupada, in one lecture I was listening to, he was saying that humility, someone asked, where is humility in the Shashastakam prayer? Where is initiation in the Shashastakam prayer? And Prabhupada said, Chunada Pisuni Chena Tarora Vyasa Hishnana Manina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Because when one is humble, one surrenders. One surrenders, one takes initiation. One allows the spiritual master to guide them. That is the sign of true humility. And if one thinks, I know better, I don't have to surrender, or I can only surrender partly, then that is not true humility. So the Sharanagati process culminates in this position of dunya, of humility, of taking a position where all I can do is follow and do my best, try to please Krishna, and that's what the gopis did. So it's a little late. I'll stop there. And if anyone else wants to ask a question or make a comment, I'll make an effort. Yes. Sorry for the rough beginning and the rough end and the rough middle.
Well, it's a little bit of a joke, but when we had that incident where Mukhya, the person was breaking flower pots here, and Mukhya said something to the reporter that, we tolerate this and that, and so the reporter quoted Mukhya, just some odd, or we don't have anything against odd people or something like that. That was their sound bite. So I was thinking, hopefully nobody heard what you said about stealing flowers, that's authorized.
Those were the days, my friend. Yes. Now we ask permission, then we take.
In this case, do you think these girls, they knew Krishna was the Supreme, or they just thought that he's just an attractive fellow?
Both. The gopis both, because Krishna said to them, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Krishna said to them, see me as the representative of Krishna in your life. See me as Krishna, because, I'm at my birthing, at my name-giving ceremony, Garga said that I was just like Narayan. So you can see me as Narayan. I'd be the representative of Narayan in your life. And so therefore, by offering obeisances to me, all your offenses will be mitigated. So there's that. And then there's also the fact that they didn't care. That Krishna was their supreme lovable object, and if he was pleased, they didn't care if anyone else was pleased. And that thread goes through the entire lila of the gopis and Krishna eternally. That their ultimate concern is that Krishna is satisfied. In the Rasa Lila, in so many places, we'll see that this idea that if Krishna is happy, then nothing else matters. And Mother Jasoda and Nanda Baba and all the residents of Vrindavan are basically in the same boat. That they don't know that Krishna is God, but at the same time, they only consider his happiness as being important. So they're just moving to make him satisfied, because they have such a deep affection for him. Tamash. Sorry for
treading
on your namesake.
I was just remembering of a couple of anecdotes of Srila Prabhupada, how, as you're saying, that Krishna was allowing the gopis to raise their standards, Srila Prabhupada was doing a similar thing, like for example, in the earlier days, from bathing the deity in the brahmachari bathroom and wiping them with a towel to our standard now.
They didn't bathe them in the brahmachari bathroom. But they bathed them with towels from the brahmachari bathroom, but they bathed them in the office.
Okay. And one time Srila Prabhupada said that if I implement all the standards now, you may all go away or faint, something like
You'd
that.
Faint.
And also, in terms of surrender, one time Srila Prabhupada said that the qualification of my disciples is that they do what I tell them to, what I say. So despite like all the instructions in the scriptures, everything, whatever Srila Prabhupada said,
has its ramifications, because you know, then we have this thing that happened in Waco or Waco or whatever, you know, where people thought they were surrendering and they got some guru who was a crazy man and he, you know, had them all kill themselves. So we have to be very careful. It's not that we leave our sense of responsibility to make intelligent choices and to examine carefully. We have to do that. But at the same time, we have to take shelter somewhere, and we have to give up our inclination that we know what's best. So we make the best effort to move forward in the right direction, and then we depend on Krishna. Bhakti Tirtha Swami used to say all the time, we do our best and Krishna does the rest. So that's the best we can do, because we know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's in charge of everything. Not a blade of grass moves without his sanction. So if our intention is to serve him and to please God, then God will intervene in our lives. Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita, that he's sitting in our heart. He destroys with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. He directs us. He gives us a guru. He gives us spiritual enlightenment. And he also gives us this, we were talking at the when we went to had a meeting recently about this protection, you know, of the farm or whatever, trying to, security, yeah. And there was a book talked about. It's called The Gift of Fear. And The Gift of Fear is written to tell us that when we have a gut feeling that something is wrong, it probably is. And so we should be cautious. So we, you know, materially speaking, we know that we have the sixth sense, so to speak. A mother has a sixth sense about her children. If she sees they're in danger, she kind of knows something is wrong, something is dangerous, and then she will act quickly. An animal especially has, you know, the animal instinct comes. So also we have an instinct, you know, there is some, especially because we've had some training, we're reading the Bhagavatam, we're studying, we're chanting Hare Krishna, we have a sense of what's right and what's wrong, and we should try to do what's right, unless we're, confident that there's an overriding reason to change direction and to do something different. The gopis had an overriding reason. Krishna was standing right in front of them, and he told them. Prabhupada stood right in front of us and told us certain things. And then we have the responsibility of trying to sort through it all. That's why one of the reasons, just to digress for a second, is that, you know, we have certain people in our movement who have been deployed to manage this society. And every time something goes awry, we very happily throw pies in their face and call them names and complain about how stupid they are and how they're inept at doing whatever. And we very quickly shift our shelter to somebody else who looks for a moment or a year or a week or to be somewhat better situated. But the fact of the matter is, when we're in a family and we're united in that family and we're dedicated to that family, if your wife or your child does something wrong, you don't just, like, forget you. You know, you're useless, hopeless. I'm going to get another kid. I'm going to go and pick one up off the street and, you know, try better next time, which is the philosophy in this material world, right? You get married and there's some argument, then you just go find another husband or another wife. And this is infidelity. And our society is riddled with it because everyone is looking for their own shelter, their own sense of comfortableness, rather than looking for making Prabhupada comfortable, making Prabhupada happy, making Prabhupada successful. I'm not saying everybody, that's not true. But there is an element of that, and we have to be careful that it doesn't get in the way of our spiritual life. That we have two obligations. We actually have three. We have our material obligation to the society at large. That every time we go somewhere, every time we say something, every time we do something, people are judging Prabhupada, people are judging us, people are judging ISKCON. Everybody, by the way we dress, by the way we talk, by the way we behave ourselves, we're being honest. It's just life, right? If we want to go undercover, then we don't have to carry that mantle, but we don't make as much advancement. Prabhupada wanted us to carry that mantle. So that's one responsibility. The second responsibility is to our own spiritual life. We have to do what feels right to us. We have to do according to our service, our responsibility, our duties within the society, within our family, within. And then the third is ISKCON, Prabhupada's mission, Prabhupada's body. We have an obligation to this institution. And sometimes the obligation to this institution is a pain in our self-centered neck. And so we have to live with that anyway, because that's our responsibility. Prabhupada asked us to carry it out. Prabhupada carried it out. He could have stayed in Vrindavan. Why did he come to New York? New York has nothing to offer spiritually. Especially back then it had nothing. Now at least it has something. It has Radha Govinda and the Radha Muralidhar. But then it didn't have anything. Nothing. But Prabhupada came. He left Vrindavan. So why? Because he had an obligation to the order of his spiritual master. He took it as a burden on his neck to spread Krishna consciousness for Lord Chaitanya. We have that obligation. So if that conflicts a little bit, we have to find our way through it and figure out how we can do it, because that's what we have to do. That's what Prabhupada wanted us to do. And without pleasing Prabhupada, just like the gopis, they could have figured out a way, maybe put a leaf with a little bit of mud and it could have stuck on their belly button, and then they could have had their hands up and cut. But they wouldn't have gotten the benefit of the full surrender. The full surrender is what Krishna was looking for, and that's what they gave him. And so they achieved perfection.
Just one last comment. My boss has a saying that friends you can choose, but family you can't. So therefore, I should stick with what I have. So I kind of think of that in a broader sense, that within our ISKCON society, some people may say, well, some of the members are good, some are bad, but this is what Krishna arranged for us, and if we stick with that, then our lives can be successful.
Thank you. I'll end there. It's late. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Glory to Shri Prabhupada.